Joining us over the phone now, live from the University of Wyoming, is Peter Prigge. Peter is the Associate AD for Compliance and Olympic Sports at the University of Wyoming. Peter, good morning. How are you today, and how's Laradice?
Good morning. Laradice is, we had a rare hailstorm roll through yesterday, so we woke up and looks like there's some snow on the ground, but we got high 60s for spring game tomorrow. We got high 60s on Sunday, and Jacoby is open here in Laramie, so we're fired up. It's been great.
That sounds great. You might have got that hail from us, so we apologize for that, moving its way from west to east. Peter, let's talk about, first off, just your job in general, trying to keep up with this this incredibly elusive concept of NIL and the gray areas of which it's been operating the last several years. Kind of maybe give us the latest of what's been happening, because obviously there's been some major decisions made at the national level. Kind of get us up to speed, if you would.
Yeah, I'll try to keep as 10,000 foot view as possible here. So obviously the NCAA, for all intents and purposes, gets sued almost every other day, from whether it be former student athletes, current student athletes, relating to eligibility or back pay, because when I was in school in 2020, I couldn't do NIL because the rules were in place then, and video games and all that stuff. So long story short, all of these lawsuits get built up over time, and there's kind of been this one pending suit that merged three cases together, and it's called the House settlement. And so that's kind of what we've been waiting for from a college athletic standpoint, and this stems, it's almost been like 18 months to 2 years. So they combine all these cases. We get first information last July that there's going to be this massive settlement, and it's going to be back pay from the NCAA and how we're going to revenue share with student athletes moving forward, and then these roster caps and limits and things of that nature. Well, we kind of progress into the academic year, and we're hearing all these things in relation to how. So the three main parts to kind of take away are, one, back pay to former student athletes. So the NCAA is putting in like $2.6 billion that'll be dispersed to former student athletes, whether you are a wrestler, a football player, a men's basketball player, women's basketball player, etc. That's one part of it. The second part of it is the ability for institutions to do what's called revenue sharing. So revenue that institutions make from tickets, from MMR, marketing rights agreements, to concessions, to gate receipts, all that stuff. Institutions will now be, if this passes, permitted to share revenue with student athletes. So the number that you hear and see in public, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, will be sharing up to just over $20 million with specific athletes beginning July 1, if it gets settled. And then the last piece of that is roster limitations. So what the NCAA did, they've been collecting data for almost the last 2 to 3 years now. What is the average size of, you know, women's soccer rosters across the country, and how many people do they have on scholarship, and how long are these people, like, they've been doing all this analysis, so they came out with these numbers. So from a football standpoint, the University of Wyoming typically carries 115 to 118 guys. Now, if the House settlement passes, they're going to cap that at 105, and that's applicable across the board. So the Big Ten, the SEC, so the old days of Nebraska football carrying 150 guys on their roster, and, you know, the Craig Bull era and things of that nature, those days are done, because now they're saying 105 total, period. So that's been the plan since last July, and then we got more information in September. But just 3 days ago, the judge, Claudia Wilkin, 9th District, California, comes in basically and just drops a bombshell on everybody and says, we need to fix these House roster limitations, or I'm not going to approve the whole settlement. Mm. And where that stems from is you've just had a lot of people reaching out saying, this is not fair. Why are Olympic sport athletes getting cut from their rosters? You know, things that they've seen letters from parents and letters from student athletes and institutions. And why are we doing this? Blah, blah, blah. So the bottom line, everything has been put on hold right now until we figure out this roster cap piece. But that has been the changing landscape of, how do we do this? What does it look like? If we have to cap rosters at 105, what happens if somebody gets hurt? How do we manage that, et cetera? So it's been a lot keeping up with it over the last 9 months or so as far as it really developing. But from a 10,000-foot view, I think that kind of breaks it down as easy as I can do it for as much as I just said.
What a mess. Peter. I mean this, I see why these conversations are happening, and hopefully it all comes together and pays off in the end and makes everything work. But I mean, when you look at your office and what you guys, I mean, you're trying to wrap up one school year. You're just a few months away from heading into the next. Are you expecting to have a resolution to this house settlement anytime soon, or what are you expecting timeline wise there?
I think we should. I mean, the judge came back and said NCAA, so plaintiff's attorneys and defendant's attorneys, you have 2 weeks to figure this out. And the difficulty with that is that both the plaintiffs and the defendants in this case, NCAA and the Power Four conferences are the only named defendants, but it's applicable to everybody. They agreed that the roster limits were fine. Plaintiff's attorney said, we're good. NCAA, Power Four conferences said, we're good. Great. So institutions across the country have been preparing for roster limitations for the last 9 months. So Ohio State cuts 83 Olympic sport athletes and football players. Michigan had like 130 football players on their football team. So they've had to cut 25 guys to say, this is our 105 for next year. And we're in the same boat just like that, where we've taken substantial preparation to say, we anticipated this as of July 1st. And so now all of a sudden they're saying, well, with this roster limitation shift, do you allow the individuals that were dismissed from the team or house roster cuts, as we've basically called them, do you allow them back on the team? Is this a one-year stopgap that says, well, no, you don't have to do it by July 1st, but you need to do it by July 1st of 2026? Do they just delay it a year? Do they increase the cap? We have no idea where this is going to land. So from a preparation standpoint, you're right. You said it. What a mess. And how we prepare for that right now, we continue to tell our coaches, I wish we had better information for you. I mean, we're trying to get as much as we can through back channels and colleagues across the country. And hey, what are you hearing from the Big Ten? And what are your people saying? It's just literally, it's a waiting game for us right now, which makes it incredibly difficult on our coaches and our student athletes that are kind of in limbo to a certain extent.
Yeah, because you've got basically guys and gals that are being told, well, maybe you should move on. I mean, you're talking about uprooting your whole life and moving somewhere else, kind of on an unclear concept of what's going on. And I don't know about you, but I hate moving. I don't know about, I don't want to do that. But you look at this landscape, Peter, and it seems to be, you can go one of two ways. One, you can start throwing money around to try and woo and pitch your program and your location, if you're able to do that. The other side of that is kind of shrink that inner circle and say, we want people that absolutely want to be here. It feels like Wyoming's obviously trying to be the latter.
Yeah, and I think that's a kind of a cost-benefit analysis of what we look at going forward between Tom Berman, Matt Wisnat, myself, Cowboy Joe, Randy Welniak upstairs. How do we approach this, and with our coaches, to say, hey, you know what, let's use the football example. We've had the Logan Wilsons of the world, the Josh Allens of the world, the Chad Mumas of the world, Easton Gibbs, like through and through. Hey, you want to come to Wyoming, you're going to play in a great atmosphere. We have all of the resources here that you need to be successful, and we can turn you into an NFL player. I mean, I could keep going down the roster from Carl Granderson to Andrew Winger to it's just, we've had that experience here. So do you, you know, somebody saying, hey, I could get $350,000 to go to USC and be their third string outside linebacker? Sure, you could. What exposure does that give you from an NFL standpoint? What kind of relationships do those people have with NFL personnel, etc.? It's all this bigger cost analysis from, like, how do we approach that? But yes, we always want people that want to represent the brown and gold, that want to be in the state of Wyoming. And it's just, unfortunately, though, I think we're in that space where it's going to be rare, where we're able to bring somebody in. I mean, let's talk 10 years ago. Larry Nance is probably not here for his senior year. He's going back to Ohio State or somewhere else because they just have the resources to pay more. Josh Allen is not here for his junior year because somebody is going to offer him Arch Manning money, $1 million, $5, $2 million to go play somewhere else. Like, we have to find comfort in that space, but also know where to pick our battles as far as, is this somebody that we think can create significant value for the University of Wyoming and that wants to be a part of something special here?
Peter Prigge from the University of Wyoming on Sports Friday today. He's the Associate AD for Compliance and Olympic Sports at UW. You know, as we talk about this house settlement, one of the other items that jumps out to me along with the roster limits is the eliminating scholarship limits for teams as well, and being able to offer scholarships to as many as you want, which when you start talking NIL dollars on top of that, how do you see that working from a scholarship standpoint now and trying to recruit and retain players at the same time as you're fighting for NIL dollars?
Yeah, that's a difficult task for institutions across the country. And some of them are going to their campus and say, so I just heard a Big 12 school is saying, yeah, we're sharing $20.5 million next year. And campus has decided to kick in $10 million of that. Now that's at a Big 12 school. For a school like Wyoming, how do we tap into our people and create NIL dollars? And then from an institutional standpoint, if we can increase scholarships, the other thing that, you know, we need to keep in mind here is the Title IX financial aid allocations. So we can't just say, hey, we're at 85 scholarships right now in football. We're going to put 20 scholarships in football, so they're at 105, so that every football guy is on full scholarship. We can't do that because there's a gender equity piece. So you still are subject to your Title IX requirements, and how you meet that and the financial aid distribution is significant. So if we're increasing on one side of, you know, the departments and say, hey, we're going to add 2 in men's basketball to get in 15, we're going to add 3 in football, and we're going to add 1 to, you know, let's say swim and dive. Okay, well, we've added 6 now on that side. So how do we proportionally make those adds on the women's side to stay within the confines of Title IX? So now we're adding, you know, 3 to volleyball, and we're adding 3 to women's swim and 3 to women's soccer. Like, we need to kind of pick and choose our battles, and we're still kind of in a space of working through our analysis as far as where do we get that, how do we approach it, academic monies from campus, what do our kids apply for, how do we make our dollar go further. Those are conversations that we've been having, I mean, since September of last year, just big picture stuff, but now we're really diving into the crossing T's and dotting I's as far as what it may look like for us as we roll this out, hopefully beginning July 1.
So, Peter, you got, you know, fans maybe listen to this, Star Valley in particular, we got a couple athletes coming over there this next year, Cooper Lawson for the football team, Hobby Wetzel, yep, deciding with track and field, as well as maybe some others that might be competing in other things. But how can people be supportive of the NIL thing, even if they're one of the people that are listening to this going, I hate NIL, it's ruining this and that, and it's confusing, and I don't want to think about it. What can they do to help the student athletes and the University of Wyoming in particular? What's one of the first things they can do to help, at least if they're inclined to do so?
Yeah, the easy aspect for us is, one, I'll defer everybody to the Cowboy Joe Club. That is our fundraising entity. That is our primary group that is out there pounding the pavement, soliciting donations. And their number one goal is support the student-athlete experience and support student-athlete scholarships. So when we're talking about the scholarship aspect, so we can talk about it from an NIL standpoint, and we do have our One YO Collective, which is on our website. It's on a lot of our media advertisements. It's on our commercials on the Mountain West Network and things of that nature. So folks can always donate to that in the NIL space. But I think a very powerful donation still from people, as we talk about adding scholarships on the women's side, adding scholarships on the men's side, that definitely helps us. And your money is going to Cowboy Joe, which is a 501(c), so it's a tax write-off for those that that's applicable for. It's a great, obviously, an opportunity for people to give. So I think primarily we will always refer people to Cowboy Joe. And then as we continue to work through this NIL space, revenue sharing, we at the University of Wyoming do plan to revenue share with our athletes. We don't know what that looks like yet. We're aggressively working with other institutions in the Mountain West across the country as to what their plan is, how does it look like, how are they drawing up contracts, things of that nature. So we are aggressive in that space, but I think I will always default to the primary. Like, let's have people donate to Cowboy Joe. They know exactly where it's going, student-athlete scholarships from a support standpoint, and we love that, and that's kind of where we find value.
Peter Prigge, Associate AD for Compliance and Olympic Sports at the University of Wyoming. Peter, we appreciate your time and breaking this all down for us. Sounds like we're going to have you on another time in the future when, as they continue to look for some answers and solutions to some of these questions. Anything we missed that you feel is worth mentioning on this topic today while we got you?
No, I think, obviously, appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. This is a changing landscape from a college standpoint, but you know, the biggest takeaway, because a lot of people get upset about transfer portal and, you know, this individual and the timing of this, and it's difficult, and it's harder on, you know, our coaches more than anybody else, and the players and the decisions they need to make. what I would implore people to do is keep in mind that this is impacting a very small amount of our student athletes. We're not losing 60 football players, you know, to the transfer portal and stuff. Like, we'll have our guys that we need to pick our battles and things of that nature. But like volleyball, women's swim and dive, we have a national champion here. Daniel Reynolds in the weight throw wins a national title for the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championship. And that's a dude that wants to be here. I spoke to him the other day and like kind of, I used this quote earlier and he literally said it. Everything that a student athlete needs to be successful is provided by the University of Wyoming. He's like, I sleep here, I train here, I eat here, I work here, all this stuff. It's just like, we're trying to provide that experience. So I want people to keep in mind that 98% of our athletes, they're great students, they're great kids, they work hard, they represent the brown and gold exactly how they should, and the rest will take care of itself. We'll keep working to figure it out, so just trust us.
Well said, Peter. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll talk again when we're able. Thank you.
You guys have a great weekend. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday this morning on the SVI Radio Network.